Good morning, church. I'm privileged this morning to bring the word to you. I'm so thankful to Pastor Larson for letting off his pulpit for me to speak. It's a difficult thing to give up your pulpit to another person. So thank you, sir. Thank you for the privilege. This morning, you're going to hear an African speaking in English to you. I don't think in English. I think in Bemba. So there are a lot of processes going on here in front. I have a software inside of me which is interpreting from Bemba to English. But I pray that the Lord will give me the grace to communicate, because I know that the gospel goes across geographical barriers, across cultural barriers, and I believe tonight that will be the case. The word of God is going to cross barriers. In Sunday school, we are taught that the shortest man in the Bible was who? Zacchaeus. I used to believe so, but after studying the word of God very much, I changed my opinion. There was a guy called Nehemiah. So I stuck to the new truth that the shortest man in the Bible was Nehemiah. Not until after studying the book of Job, I changed my opinion again. I found the shortest man in the Bible in the book of Job. He's called Bildad the Shuhite. Anyway, turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2. One privilege of being a resident pastor is that you can preach through the word of God, through the Bible, through different books, so that you expose your people to the whole counsel of the word of God. That's the privilege of being a resident pastor. You have the time and you have a captive audience every Sunday and every week. But the calamity of being a visiting preacher is that you have just 20 minutes to speak whatever you have to speak. So that's what I have, to speak whatever I need to speak. So I don't have the luxury of time. I would have loved for us to go through a journey, but I'll try. So maybe we'll get a jet and landing and fly out, landing and fly out, landing and fly out in scripture, and I hope we'll get home with something. So Nehemiah chapter 2, before we read the passage, let me just take a minute or so to just give the background so that we know where we are in scripture. This is the time of the exile. The children of Israel were in exile, and God was preparing a revival to bring back the exiled people back to Jerusalem so that they can continue with the mission of God. You remember when they were in exile in Babylon? So there was no worship. There was no sacrifices. Their spiritual life died. Somewhere it is written about this, the psalmist complaining that this by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and we wept as we remembered Zion. And the guys from Babylon would come and ask us, say, "You guys, sing us a song from Jerusalem." And then the guy said, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land. So they hung their instruments, their drum set was dusty, it was not played for a long time for the glory of God. So now God started raising people to come back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple so that the children of Israel can go back and worship the Lord. They can go back and offer sacrifices again through Zerubbabel and other guys who are ready. But this time I want to talk about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was not a priest. He was not a pastor. He was not a man of office. He was not a prophet. He was just a mere, ordinary person like you and me. But the Lord put a dream in his heart. The Lord put something in his heart. And he set his heart to accomplish what the Lord had put on him. And this morning I want to believe that in this church, all of us, there's something God has put in your heart as your mission. Even for you to be part of this church, there's something which God has put in your heart to fulfill in this world, to fulfill in this church, to fulfill in your community, to fulfill in the world. There's something God has put in your heart. Sometimes you don't discover it. Sometimes you ignore it. But it is there. If you pay attention, you are able to get it. So Nehemiah got it. He understood his mission to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls, the broken walls of Jerusalem. Now, the passage we are going to read through, it's where Nehemiah began to do what he felt the Lord had called him to do. And in the process of doing that, he faced a lot of opposition. So this morning, I want to speak. I don't usually give titles to my sermons, but just for the sake of understanding, we are going to consider the title, Mission in the Face of Opposition. Did my title rhyme? Clap for me. Yeah, those are the things we struggle with as preachers, to come up with a very nice title every week. So that, like people in Hollywood, they come up with nice titles for their movies. The other week I was taken to a movie to see a movie, and the title of the movie was just one word, Gravity. So I said, how did they come up with Gravity? And it is so much appealing, you know, just Gravity. Just one word. Yeah. And that's my title. Mission in the Face of Opposition. Okay? And this is an encouraging message. I want somebody to be encouraged. Somebody to leave that door today encouraged. If you are discouraged, your level of discouragement will change by the time I finish speaking. I promise you. You will be encouraged. Your faith will be built up. Because I know in the Bible it says faith comes by hearing the word of God. And you're about to hear the word of God. Your faith is going to be built up tonight, or this morning rather. So, as Nehemiah embarked on his mission, he faced some opposition. I'm telling you, even for this team, for me to be in USA today, to be in your church, to come and speak and sing, it was not easy. We faced a lot of opposition. Whatever you do for God, usually it will be opposed. Especially when you lead the pack. How many leaders do we have? How many leaders do we have here? If you are a leader of some sort, maybe you lead a group or even a family, if you are a papa bear of a family, mama bear, it means you are a leader, okay? Now, I have a message for you that every leader faces criticism. Some people melt when they are criticized. Some people want to evaporate when they are criticized. Now, I want to show you in the word of God, that even great leaders whom God raises, sometimes they are opposed. Even Jesus, your Lord, was opposed. Whatever he did, there were groups of Pharisees, there were groups, different groups who opposed him. So even Nehemiah faced a good amount of opposition. I've been in ministry for 18 years, and I discovered that if you don't want to be opposed, do nothing. If you don't want to be criticized in life, don't do anything. But I have news for you. Even if you don't do anything, they'll still criticize they criticize you for doing nothing. So, if you don't want to be opposed or criticized, the best thing you can do is to die. You know, back home, they even criticize dead people. Yes. Yes. They'll go for body viewing at the funeral so that they look at you how you are looking. So that half the day after the funeral, they'll talk about you. Did you see how he was finished? How he was looking in the casket? Finished. I couldn't recognize him. They'll criticize how you look. Hello? All right. Nehemiah chapter 2. I'll start reading from verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. I have explained the background, so as we jot into scripture, I think you'll follow with me very well. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burnt with fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. They replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. "What is this you are doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king?" I answered them by saying, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historical right to it." So this is Nehemiah sharing with people, casting his vision. This is what the Lord wants us to do. And people agreed with him and said, "Yeah, this is good. Let's begin doing," the Bible says, "the good work." Not the bad work, but the good work. But there's a trio here. I call it the unholy trinity. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, when they just heard about the plans, they ridiculed the plans. Okay? It was a good thing these people wanted to do. Some of you get surprised when people shoot at you because your intentions are good for the Lord, for the kingdom of God, and yet people shoot your ideas. And it is very much discouraging. You see, these people have a right to criticize me if I am wrong. Now, I don't see myself doing anything wrong, but they are criticizing me. Welcome to the world of Nehemiah. They criticized good work. What Nehemiah was about to do is, it was a good work, but they opposed it. Have you ever experienced people opposing the good work you are doing? How does it feel? Very frustrating. You are about to embark on a good work, and yet people come in opposition. They don't even say thank you to you for the good things. It's like they are blind to the good thing you are doing. Opposition in the face of mission. But I like the answer which Nehemiah gave. Say, well, the Lord will give us success. As for you, you have no part or any historical right to it. So we'll go ahead and serve the Lord. Okay? So this is the first level of opposition. The first level of opposition is when the enemy just hears about your plans and they oppose the plans. Okay? So sometimes when we have wonderful plans, it's better to keep quiet. When they just hear about the plans, good plans, but they oppose you to your face. Good plans, but they oppose it to your face. I think there are some people, even in church they are found, I don't know about this church, who get pleasure from criticizing other people, or especially their leaders. They find fulfillment. They derive great pleasure from doing that. So there was this husband who derived pleasure from criticizing his wife. He would criticize her dressing style, her hairstyle. He would criticize even the breakfast she makes. When she brings breakfast, he say, I didn't want scrambled eggs. I want fried eggs. And then she brings fried eggs. You say, I don't want fried eggs. I want scrambled or boiled eggs. And then the wife gets wiser. She brings one plate of fried eggs, one plate of scrambled eggs. Here you are, sir. Enjoy your breakfast. And then the guy says, woman, when are you going to learn manners? The egg you scrambled is the one I wanted fried. The one you fried is the one I wanted scrambled. Just difficult people, you know. And sometimes the Lord blesses us with such people in our churches and in our families and in our homes. That's why I'm preaching to you this morning, so that you know how to handle such people. If you derive pleasure from criticizing for the sake of criticizing and you are here, may the Lord deliver you today. That's the first level. Let's go to chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Nehemiah. Just from verse 1, we read the first 3 verses. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria. He said, what those feeble Jews are doing, will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring those stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burnt as they are? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what they are building, even if a fox climbed on it, he would break down their walls of stone. This is quite some criticism, belittling the work they were doing. Saying, if you know, a fox is a small animal, smaller than some dogs. Yeah. But imagine somebody telling you, the wall you are building, if a fox climbs on it, the walls will fall down. That's very discouraging. That's very discouraging. But what is interesting is that if you continue reading from verse 4, the response which Nehemiah gave to all this opposition was prayer. He just went to the Lord and prayed, oh Lord. He turned to the Lord. He didn't buy into what they were saying. So this morning I want to encourage you. Whenever you have difficulties, whenever you have challenges in your life, in your business, in your family, turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord in prayer. That's the best response you can give to any challenge in life. Let the Lord be your rock. Let the Lord be your refuge. Turn to the Lord. Nehemiah turned to the Lord. Though he felt insulted, but he turned to the Lord. He said, "Lord, hear us. We are despised." And he prayed. This prayer sounds African. He prayed a back to the sender prayer. In Africa, there are prayers which people pray. They call them back to the sender. You should come to Africa and understand that. Yeah, he said, turn their insults back to their own heads. But don't pray like that, please. Yeah. But, well, the lesson, what is important is Nehemiah turned to the Lord. In Africa, we have a lot of mud. When it rains, in rain season, there's mud all over. We don't have a lot of lawns like you people, green stuff. We have a lot of mud. And most people in Africa walk for work, walk for whatever business. Most people don't drive. And a few people drive. Now, those who are privileged to drive, they will drive through the mud and splash the mud on people who are walking. And usually, people who are walking, they will curse that person going. They will say cursing words. Okay? But I learned, since I've lived in Africa all my life, that when mud is splashed at you, the best thing to do is just to leave the mud on you. Don't try to clean it up immediately. You mess up yourself even the more. When mud is splashed on you, leave it. In 30 minutes time, it will dry. We have lots of sunshine in Africa. We don't have depressing weather like yours. Because of sunshine, the mud will dry, and when it dries, it fall off on its own. The mud will fall off on its own. Yeah. Maybe somebody here says, my name has been tarnished. People have said all sorts of bad things about me. The best thing you can do, turn to the Lord and leave whatever they have said about you. Don't try to protect yourself, protect your image, or try to clean up. You are just messing up more. So if you leave the mud, whatever Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem said about Nehemiah, he just turned to the Lord, and they fall off. And this level of opposition is when the work is going on. Not just the plans, not just the blueprint, but the construction has begun. So when you have a mission for God, when you have plans, you say, I want to move to Africa. I want to go as a missionary. Well, your family is going to oppose you. They will tell you about malaria. They will tell you about the lions. They will tell you about the mosquitoes. They will tell you about all the things that can discourage you. Just the plans, okay? And if you go through that level and you go to Africa, they will still send emails to you. Please come back home. Especially if you face one challenge and you make a mistake reporting it back home. They'll tell you, pack your bag. Why are you suffering? Pack your bags. You can even serve God here. Yeah. There's a guy I met in Iowa. He really wanted to come to Zambia, but he's afraid of snakes. He's afraid of snakes. So I wrote him a new rendition of a song, Don't Send Me to Africa. And I recorded it for him. So it went something like this. Oh Lord, I'm your willing servant. I'll obey every word you say. I'll do Bible studies for youth every week. I'll usher in youth retreat meetings. I'll even tithe 11%. Please don't send me to Zambia because I think I don't have got what it takes. I'm just an American. I'm not a Tarzan who likes fighting gorillas and snakes. I'll save you here in Iowa, okay, say Nebraska, with my comfortable middle class life. Oh Lord, don't send me to Zambia. That will be your prayer. That's another level of opposition. So the enemy does not stop to oppose. He continues. So quickly, if you go to chapter 6, still more opposition. That's the third level of opposition. Chapter 6, verse 1. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the walls, and not a gap was left in it, though up to this time I had not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project. I cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it to go down to you? Four times they sent me this same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Yeah. So when the enemy sees that you are still going on with your plans, with your mission of God, they'll change the strategy. Now they'll try to come like friends, okay? They'll try to befriend you, to distract you from what God has called you to do. And here in America, you have a lot of distractions. You have a lot of distractions. I have seen it with my own naked eyes. No contact lenses or third pair of eyes. With my own naked eyes, I've seen it. You have lots of choices, which can, especially young people, which can derail you from the mission which God has given you. But be focused on what God has called you to do. Even if it is a small thing, maybe you teach little kids, maybe you do college ministry, be focused on that. Don't allow the enemy. People talk, what is he up to? What is he up to? Yeah. I remember I was part of a church. By then I was not even a pastor. But I love to meet young people at some home for Bible study and prayers. And that was opposed. People say, and they were naming me that he has become a night pastor. Night secret pastor. But I meant well just to have Bible study with some guys who were interested. But people talk, okay? So when you're doing ministry, don't allow people to misdirect you. You know what to say? When they call you, that you take a digression from what God has called you to do. When they say, come, let us meet together in one of the villages in Ono, the answer is right there in verse 2. Say, oh no, I can't come. Yeah. All of us have a plane of honor in our Christian journey where the enemy wants to sidetrack you so that you are committed to other things instead of committing your ways to the Lord, but you become committed to other things. Other things become more important than the Lord's work. You should say, oh no, I'm not coming. I am too busy doing the work of the Lord. So the enemy does not easily give up. He'll continue pounding at you, pounding at you. There's a story told of a man called Robert Fulton. Robert Fulton, if you know history very well, he was the inventor of the steamboat, the steam engine, the steamboat. Now, it is told that the day Robert was launching the steamboat. He had quite a good size of critics who didn't believe such a thing would happen. So they gathered themselves with placards around the shores of the river where the launching of the steamboat was being done. And before anything would go, there were journalists and other people, and this crowd was shouting to discourage him. They were saying, "It won't start! It won't start!" So they were singing a chorus, "It won't start! It won't start! It won't start!" And Robert went to the engine and cranked it, and it started. The engine roared with good sound. It started, and the critics were quiet for a while. They folded their arms, waiting. And then one of them started shouting, "It won't move! It won't move! It won't move! It won't move!" So Robert engaged the gears, and there the boat was sailing on the water. It was moving. Then all of them looked at each other, very disappointed. Then in a weak voice, one of them started shouting again, "It won't stop! It won't stop!" Yeah. But that technology helped humanity to transport stuff and things. So whatever the Lord has called you to do, when the enemy comes in like a flood, let the Lord raise standards. The Spirit of the Lord is going to raise standards. Is anybody encouraged this morning? Amen. Yeah. Encourage yourself in the Lord. God is on your side, and He's about to do a greater work in your life. So as you obey and follow Him, maybe if the Bible had no closing page, we are going to read about you because of what the Lord has done in your life. Thank you. May God bless you.